Hey, good morning, Homefront Church. I want to welcome you again to our online service this morning. If you're watching our live stream, we'd love for you to join in the chat with us and let us know that you're here. We are in a series called At the Movies 2021, and we are looking at modern-day movies that are like parables for us to learn from, biblical lessons from God's Word. Now, normally in the live, when we do this live, we'll show some clips, but we are not able to do that for legal purposes. So I'm just going to kind of tell you a little bit about the movie and the clip that we were going to show. The movie that we're talking about today is the movie Tenet. Tenet, T-E-N-E-T. If you spell it backwards, it's still Tenet. That's interesting. This came out last year, and it's a sci-fi thriller about time travel. It's an unusual movie. It's quite confusing, but here's all you really need to know. Tenet is about a man from the future who comes back to the present to help himself and also to help save the world. And so I know that sounds confusing, but just that's really all you need to know. A man from the future comes back to the present to help himself. Now, the clip that we were going to show was actually a fight scene between our hero of the movie, or the lead character, and he's fighting someone, but we can't see who it is that he's fighting, because the person that he's fighting is all dressed in black, and he has a mask on, and it's a really strange-looking fight, too, because it seems like the guy that he is fighting is moving backwards in time, whereas he is continuing to move forwards. So how does this happen? How does he go back? What is he trying to do? Well, in the movie, he's trying to recover pieces of this really big, huge, for lack of a better word, it's a key that's been divided into pieces, and it's been hidden in the past. It was developed in the future, but to hide it, they brought it back to the past. And so what they're trying to do is recover the pieces of this key so that they can hide it again, so that people will not know how to time travel, because this key is actually the key to time traveling. And if they don't recover it, then it's going to cause chaos, and the whole world is going to be destroyed because of it. So they need to find these pieces. They need to recover these pieces. And in doing so, they need to either hide them again, because evidently they can't be destroyed. So think about it. If you could go back in time to confront yourself, if you could go back in time to your younger self, what would you tell yourself? What are maybe some pitfalls that you would warn yourself about? What lessons would you provide to help yourself? Now, I want to make it clear today, this is not really a message about regrets in our life. But the truth of the matter is, we all have some regrets, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today. We do have some regrets, but here's the deal. We cannot change the past, but we can recover. We can recover from it. So my message today is entitled Tenet, Learning to Recover. If I were to talk to you from my life experience, or if I were to go back in time and talk to my younger self, here are some lessons I would want to try to learn earlier in life. The first one is this. Number one, everyone needs help recovering. Now, another way of saying that is, first of all, everyone needs recovery. Everyone needs some sort of recovery in their life, and they need help to recover. We all need recovery from something in our lives. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says this. It says, for all, and every time I see the word all, I usually ask you to repeat the word, so just say the word all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I looked up the word all in the Greek, and as I've said before, it still means all. It means everyone. All have sinned. All have fallen short. All need recovery from something in their lives. Isaiah 53:6 says it like this. It says, we all, and there's that word again, all. But this time it's in the Hebrew, and guess what? It still means all. So all, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. All have sinned. All of us have gone astray from the path of God to go our own way at times, so all need to recover. Sometimes, though, in our pride, and we think that recovery is for someone else. It's not really for me. It's for those people. It's not for me. But the truth of the matter is there's something in your life that you need to recover from. There's things in my life that I still am in the process of recovering from. We all need to recover, but we all have fallen short, and we need to understand that we all need this in our life. We were not meant to walk alone, though. Yes, God is there to help us to recover, and He does, but we also really benefit from each other, being open, being transparent, and walking with somebody else who is on their own journey, in their own process of recovery, but maybe they're a little further ahead, and they can help us along the way as well. I would tell myself not to be afraid and not to be ashamed to admit that I'm in process, but I'm not perfect. Don't be afraid to admit the truth and seek the help you need in life. Don't give in to the fallacy that you can just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you can overcome all by yourself. Everyone needs help recovering. So what does this mean? It means that you are not alone. The reason I'm saying this, why this point is so important, is because everyone needs help recovering in some area of their life. That means you're not alone. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know if you're watching this with someone else, but if you are, just look at them or look at somebody to your left or to your right. You're looking at someone who needs recovery. And guess what? They are too when they're looking back at you. We're not alone. We're not alone. We have real problems. None of us are perfect, so stop trying to act like it, and just know you're not alone, and you don't have to fight these battles or face this alone. Like in the movie, they were looking to recover pieces of this key to time travel. What is it in your life that you need to recover? What are keys to recovery in your life? You may have come up with a whole bunch of things, but I think I can sum it up in one word, and that's my second point. We need to recover our birthright. That's really the key. We need to recover our birthright. We all have a spiritual birthright from God the Father. We may not fully understand the significance of the birthright, though. Let me just tell you, in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, even today in certain cultures, the birthright is still a big deal. What does this mean? Well, the birthright means that the firstborn son stands to inherit more than the rest of his siblings, but he doesn't just inherit more, he also inherits the name or the authority, or the best way of saying it is the leadership and the influence, the head of the family. And so those are the two things. It really can be boiled down as to affluence and influence. The inheritance is affluence and influence, and that's what the oldest son stood to inherit. We also have a spiritual birthright from God. We receive an inheritance from Him along with that influence. Romans chapter 8 tells us in verse 17, it says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." And then in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this, "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir." We are an heir. That means that we stand to inherit something from God the Father. We have a birthright. So we each have this from God. However, many people have lost their birthright. They've given it up in some way. A classic example of this is the story of Esau and Jacob from the Old Testament. Maybe some of you remember this story, but I want to read it here. This is Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. It says, "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.' Jacob replied, 'First, sell me your birthright.' 'Look, I'm about to die,' Esau said. 'What good is the birthright to me?' But Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright." Now, first of all, let me just ask this. How dumb was Esau? I know that sounds kind of mean for me to say, but this really was a very silly thing to do, because Esau stood to inherit something really great. He had a great inheritance ahead of him. His father was Isaac. His grandfather was Abraham. They had accumulated a lot of wealth, but not just wealth. They were prestigious. They had influence in the land that they were living. So he stood to inherit a double portion of that affluence, but also that influence. Think about how influential it really was. We hear in the Old Testament and the New Testament this saying all the time, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, guess what? It wasn't supposed to be Jacob. He was not the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn. It was supposed to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, but he sold his birthright to his little brother. How silly is that? And it's not just that he wasn't going to receive that affluence or that influence, but even a greater influence, because God changed his younger brother Jacob's name to Israel. Esau was actually supposed to give birth to a nation, the nation of Israel. But instead, that inheritance, that influence, that leadership, and that affluence, all of it went to his little brother Jacob instead of him. Now, people think Jacob, the younger brother in this story, was very cunning. And in other places, yes, he did. He was kind of conniving at times and cunning. But I got to look at this and say, this isn't very crafty. It would be like me saying to you, hey, I'm willing to give you this half a bottle of water if you'll give me your house and your car. Is that a fair trade? That would be silly. You'd say, that's stupid. Well, that's exactly what Esau has done here. This was not about how cunning Jacob was. It was about how silly Esau was. And here's the deal. We think, oh, I would never do something like that. I would never do that. But unfortunately, we all do this at some point. We all have a birthright that needs to be recovered because we have done something foolish in the past. We give up our birthright, our inheritance. Usually, we do this for one of two reasons. And I want to share these two reasons with you real quick. The first reason we sometimes relinquish and lose our birthright is to avoid pain. It's to avoid pain in our life. We relinquish our spiritual birthright in an attempt to escape something that's going on in our lives. And that's, if you think about this story, it says that he was famished twice in there. But the truth is he wasn't really starving to death. He just was feeling the pain of hunger in that moment, and he wasn't willing to wait. And he just wanted that quick fix, something to get rid of that hunger, that pain that he was in the moment experiencing in his life. In life, we all experience pain. We all experience trauma. There's grief. There's all kinds of pain that people go through. Some are in great physical pain. Others are in deep emotional pain. Sometimes we are in pain from things that we're not even fully aware of from our background, from our past. But we all experience it. We all have some pain in our lives. We have shame and the pain of our guilt and our sin that sometimes the enemy uses against us. But there's things that come at us from all angles. And pain is just part of life. And too often, in an attempt to escape the pain, we try to self-medicate. We try to numb the pain. We try any way possible to avoid pain in our life. This is what gives rise to so much addiction. And I'm not just talking about drugs or alcohol. Porn can be an addiction. Food can be. TV, video games, shopping, anything to take our attention away, or for even just a moment to take our attention away from the pain that we're experiencing in our lives. If I could go back in time, I would tell myself, stop trying to avoid the pain. Stop trying to run from it. Stop trying to mask it. Stop trying to ignore it. Stop trying to numb it in some way. And usually these are the three S's that we often will use to numb our pain. Usually it's a substance abuse, sex, and success. We need to face our pain, though, and learn to bring it all to Jesus, because he is our healer. And then a second thing we will often trade our birthright for is this. It's short-term pleasures. And second thing is short-term pleasure. So here's Esau. He thinks he's famished, and he's asked his little brother for some food. And his little brother just says, hey, I will do that if you'll give me your birthright. And he says, what good is my birthright if I'm going to die? But again, he wasn't really going to die. It wasn't all that bad. And it was certainly not a fair trade. But he was not only looking to appease the pain, to avoid the pain that he was feeling, but he was looking for that quick fix. He was looking for that short-term pleasure. All of our short-term pleasures that we turn to will always disappoint. They always disappoint in the end. They may feel good in the moment, and sin does feel good. Sometimes sin is fun. If it was not fun, if it didn't feel good, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But we think it's going to help us. We think it's going to relax us. We think it's going to be fun or whatever, that short-term pleasure or numb that pain. It always ends up hurting us, and it also hurts others in our life. I know this to be true. These people who do this, they lead to more pain and heartache. So I talked about this last week. The devil comes to tempt us to give up our birthright by offering us escapes from our pain through a short-term pleasure. Look at the rest of this story. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest child. He sold his birthright. Afterwards, verse 17, afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Listen to this. Sexual immorality and other godless addictions and short-term pleasures, they lead to a bitter life. They lead to bitterness in life. And I've said this before, but it poisons you. It poisons everyone around you. You may cry. You may cry real tears, but it doesn't help. At this point, Esau cried, but it didn't make a difference. Why is that? I want you to understand that the reason really is too often you can be crying and still be lying at the same time. In other words, you say that you're sorry, and then you even feel that you're sorry, and the tears prove how you're feeling, but inside, you really haven't changed. You're just kind of lying to somebody or to yourself. I've been like this, where I've messed up, I've fallen into sin, and I cried bitter tears saying, hey, I'll never do that again, and then I wipe the tears away, and I get up, and I do it all over again. Can you relate to that? I was wondering, can you really relate to that? Has this ever happened to you? Well, I just want you to know it happened to the Apostle Paul. Remember, everyone needs recovery. Even the Apostle Paul needed this. Let me show you some excerpts from Romans chapter 7. This is the New Living Bible translation. Romans 7 verse 15 says, it starts off with this. It says, I don't really understand myself. Paul is saying, I don't understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And then in verse 18, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Can you relate so far? Look at verse 21. It says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Now, just remember that part right there for a moment. He says there is another power within him that he is struggling with. And he goes on to say, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And then verse 24, oh, what a miserable person am I. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt this way, that when you don't want to do wrong, you end up doing it? When you want to do good, you end up doing bad? And at the end of it, you just say, what a miserable person I am. Seems like you can't stop doing the wrong. Seems like you can't start doing the right. Well, we are in good company. You're not alone. The Apostle Paul struggled with this as well. So if I could go back and tell myself anything, it would be, don't sell your spiritual and emotional well-being. Don't sell your birthright and your inheritance from God for those short-term pleasures or for something to avoid the pain. Deal with the pain. Face it. Don't run from it. Don't try to block it out or numb it. Bring it to the healer. I don't want to leave you hanging in verse 24. Paul says, oh, what a miserable person I am. But look at the rest of this verse. It says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25 says, thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer to all our problems is always Jesus. But we have to turn from our sin and turn from the path that leads away from God, and we have to turn back to Him. This is called repentance. And so that's my third point today. How do we recover? How do we truly recover? Well, we recover through repentance. We recover through this thing called repentance. The only way you can recover your birthright is through repentance. It's not just feeling sorry. Remember I said you can cry those tears, but you can be crying and lying at the same time. It's not just from feeling sorry about it. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is not even just a change of behavior. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But it really is changing our minds about things, changing really that default setting in our mind. Look back at verse 23. It says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. So this is a war going on between your ears. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. This is a war within. That's what's happening. It's a war within, a battle in your mind. Now, let me give you a spoiler alert for this movie, Tenet. The scene that I just described to you that we're going to be showing tonight is a fight scene, and these two men are fighting. One is the main character, and you can see him in his face, but the other one is another character that's dressed all in black, and he's wearing a mask, and it seems like he's fighting in reverse while the other guy's moving forward, the main guy's moving forward. Well, here's a spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen the movie, it is kind of a confusing movie, but he doesn't know it, but he's fighting himself. He's fighting himself. Now, the other guy knows it because he's come back from the future and he can see through that mask who he's fighting. But the guy that's the hero, he doesn't know who he's fighting. He's fighting himself. He's in this battle with himself in the movie. that's why it seemed like everything he was doing was in reverse. So why is this significant? The reason is we are often at war with ourselves. Just like we hear about Paul, where he's like, I want to do right, but I end up doing wrong. I don't want to do the wrong things, but I end up doing it anyway. It's this fighting within ourselves, within our minds often, that we are struggling with. And I know this to be true from personal experience. My tendency very often is to go back to my default setting, giving in to the sin, giving in to the temptation, giving in to poor coping mechanisms or anger or laziness and other things that are not good for me. I know that's my tendency to do that. And I heard this analogy and I thought it was great, but it's sort of like this. It's like you get in a boat and you're going one direction, and that's the way the current is flowing. And that's the way of the world. That's the way that is taking you away from the path of God, away from the one that you truly need. And so you're just going with the flow. So what do? A lot of times you say, well, I don't want to go this direction. I want to go the way God. And so we think repentance is turning that wheel. And we turn that wheel and we start going. But here's the deal. That current's still coming against us. And so we're having to fight to hold that wheel because it's not naturally wanting to go in the direction that it's going. And after a while, when you're struggling, when you're fighting with that wheel, you get tired. You get tired. And when you get tired, you start to feel the pain and the weariness of it. And before you know it, that weariness, that tiredness, and that pain, eventually we give up. and we start going, turning and going back to our default setting, going back the way that we had come. So what's the answer? I mean, yeah, we can try to force ourselves and just do it by ourselves. But let me just tell you the real answer here. That's what Paul says here as well. The real answer is we need to give the wheel to Jesus. We need to give him the wheel. Now, I know that's a cliche. It's even a song from a while back. But there is this war within ourselves as we are fighting ourselves to choose good and evil, right or wrong, or to go the way of God. And so that answer really is true repentance is not just changing, feeling sorry. It's not just trying to do better. It's not just better behaviors. True repentance is really a metamorphosis that happens in our mind. We realize who we are because of our birthright, that we really are children of God, and God, our Father, is there to help us. Let him have the wheel. I know, again, like I said, I know that's cliche, but it's so very true. You see, in the movie, the guy had a friend. And again, this is kind of a spoiler alert, but the guy had a friend. And the friend seemed to know what was going on when nobody else in the movie did. And the reason is because the friend had come from the future, and he was living sometimes in the future, and he was living sometimes in the past, and he was living sometimes in the present. And guess what? That friend, I really do believe, was represents the Holy Spirit. I say I really do believe. As I watched it, he represented God. He represented the Holy Spirit. He represented the Trinity. He had the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that friend was actually there to help our hero to overcome and to save the world. The Holy Spirit is there to help us as well. He's there to be our friend. He is there to comfort us in those times of pain. He's there to begin to administer the healing ointment from his powerful Spirit. He's there to minister healing to us, but he's also there to guide us in those seasons where we just don't know what to do. He is also there to strengthen and encourage us when we are faced with the temptations for those short-term pleasures that often will have long-term devastating effects on our lives. So we have to submit. Here's the real key. We have to submit not just our lives, but we have to submit our will to God. And we have to do this every single day. Because if we don't, that current's just going to keep taking us away from God. So we have to submit. This is a daily decision that we make every day. In fact, if you think about the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I want you to hear that because that obviously means that this is meant to be a daily time of prayer. But right before he said, give us this day our daily bread, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And some have indicated that it says in earth, like an in this earthen vessel, in my life, let your kingdom come and your will be done. It's daily we are submitting not just our lives, our will to the Father. The word tenant, I thought that was an interesting name for this movie. Let me tell you what it literally means. It means this. It's a principle or belief, especially one of the main principles of a religion or a philosophy. So as Christians, what is our main tenet? What is our creed? What is our principle? I want you to look to Jesus when he was being tempted with short-term pleasures or tempted to avoid pain in his own life. I want you to see his response. When the devil came to tempt him in the wilderness, he was hungry, like Esau. He was truly famished. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was tired. I'm sure being out in the desert for 40 days, he was in some kind of discomfort and pain. And that's when the devil comes and tempts us the most. And when the devil came and tempted him, every single time he decided to submit his will to God's word. He kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. He was only going to submit his will to God, to God's word. And when he was faced with pain, or the prospect of pain, of being beaten and going to the cross, I want you to look at what he said in Luke 22, verse 42. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. This really does need to be our daily creed in life. This needs to be our tenet. Every day when you get up, pray and mean it when you say it. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, Lord. I submit my will to your lordship. I submit not just my life, I submit my will to you, Father. Father, not my will, but yours be done. It's a daily decision that we have to make to submit our wills to God. When faced with temptation to give in to short-term pleasures that will have long-term devastating effects, when faced with pain, rather than trying to mask it or run from it or numb it, when faced with that pain and we have that desire to avoid it, instead you choose to go God's way even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. His way always leads to recovery. Recovering that which we have lost. It leads to recovering, and we all need recovery. So what is our motivation to recover? What is your motivation today? What's your why? Some say you just need to do it for yourself. Others suggest, well, you need to submit that to God, and you need to do it for Him and for His kingdom. But I'm going to give you another reason, and those are good reasons, but I want to give you another reason. I'm going to be talking about it next week in our final message in this series, but I don't want to leave you hanging. I'm going to give you a hint today. We need to overcome in this present so that future generations have a model and have a chance to overcome as well. Everyone needs help, though, recovering. So what do you need to recover from today? What is it in your life that you need to recover from? I just want to stop right now, and I want you to really ask the Holy Spirit today to begin to reveal to you areas in your life that still need to be recovered, areas of your birthright as a son or a daughter of Christ. What needs to be recovered in your life? And then I want to encourage you to start getting the help that you need. And there's so many ways that you can do this. You can talk to somebody in a small group. You can talk to somebody at your church. A lot of times it helps to get outside of that and go see a counselor or go through a program. But whatever it takes, you need to recover. Yes, for your sake. Yes, for God's sake and His kingdom. But also for your family and for the future. And so I just want to pray for you right now and pray that God begins to strengthen you to live according to this creed, according to this tenet. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So Father, today I just stretch my hand out to everyone who is here and who is maybe listening and viewing. And God, I know how badly I have needed this in my life and still do. And so Lord, I just pray today that we will all, whatever area in our life that we need to recover in, wherever we have fallen short, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us with your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit really is our friend. He's there to strengthen, to comfort in pain, and to guide us through those temptations. And Father, I pray that we will recover that birthright completely and remember that we really are your children in Jesus' name. And I just declare it, Father, not my will, but your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to lead you, some of you, in a prayer today as well. There may be some of you in here who you've never submitted your life to God, much less your will. And you know you need that friend to help you to overcome areas in your life. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation this morning. Maybe you once followed God, but like I said, you just kind of started drifting back away from Him. Well, maybe it's time for you to come home today. And if that's you, well, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just say this. Say, Lord, today I come before you and I need you in my life. And so I submit my life and I submit my will to you. Forgive me of my sin, and I know you will, because you have washed me clean by the blood of Jesus. And I confess that He is Lord of my life from this moment on, in Jesus' name. I turn and I face Him and I say to Him, take over, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Homefront. I love you so much. Always just want to encourage you. If you have prayer requests, you can send those to us at info@homefrontfamily.com. There's a way for you to get plugged into a small group there as well. And so stay plugged in. Come on out and see us tonight if it's possible, because these messages are a lot more fun and in person. And then we're meeting at the Music Hall, the Arlington Music Hall, at 5 o'clock. If you want to support our ministry, bring your tithes and your offerings into the house of God, the Bible says. There's a way for you to do that online, or you can text. You can text, or you can go to homefrontfamily.com. I love you so much. God bless you. I'm looking forward to next week. Don't miss it. It's almost like a part two of this message. We'll see you then. God bless you.